At the start of the 13th century, a saint of the church was born. He was born into a family of great wealth and privilege. His skin knew the feel of fine silks. His tables were always filled with food. As was fitting for men of his day, he served as a soldier showing great valor. And yet there was that something in him that knew that this wealth, this privilege, this prestige was at its core empty. He knew that the extravagance he had been afforded simply by being born to his position could sustain him, but never truly feed him. And so through practices of prayer and fasting, feeding hungry by the hundreds, with acts of mercy, both public and private, he came close to God through the simple joy of being in right relationship with prince and pauper around him. Oh, and did I mention that he was crowned King of France at age 11? Yes, this was the life of a saint of the church in the 13th century, King Louis IX of France. The King of France and Saint Francis of Assisi, odd bedfellows indeed. And yet just over a month ago when we celebrated the feast day of Louis, there they were. Now here a moment of public confession. 4 days a week in the chapel of the Nativity at All Souls, we celebrate the feast or fast of that particular day, and almost every Wednesday, an engaged and dedicated group of us gather to hear the story of a saint, of someone who has come very close to God. And so several weeks ago, on August 25th, it was Louis IX's feast day. And in a moment of notable ignorance, I said to the gathered, "Great. What in the world is the King of France going to teach us?" And then we read a remarkable reflection by an Episcopal priest and author named Sam Portaro. And Sam laid these two stories alongside one another, as he says, that of monarch and of mendicant. Then asked us to place ourselves somewhere in the middle. And through that parable of sorts, for me, the heavens opened, and I caught a glimpse of the kingdom that I had not seen before. It's not that I don't like Francis, it's just that even though Saint Francis is probably the most popular saint of the church, he is also the least likely to be imitated. With Francis, for some reason, we let ourselves off the hook. But really, is this lack of imitation a huge surprise? I mean, Francis was a person of extremes. After receiving a revelation of God to repair the church, he took bolts of precious cloth from his father's storehouse and sold them in order to give money to rebuild a ruined church. And when he was later challenged by his father to relinquish his family's inheritance and position, he didn't just agree to go off and seek his own way. He stripped naked in the town square to offer his father all that he had. And then he lived his life begging, often hungry, exposed to the elements, many times suffering with those who suffered around him. How many lawn statues capture that? Now, Louis IX of France, though a saint, was not perfect. He led not one, but two crusades in failed attempts to reconquer the Holy Land. But it was the way he lived within the position he was given that made him a saint. It was said that hundreds of beggars were fed from his table, that he ate what they left behind, that he would minister to them, sometimes washing their feet. Imagine a world leader today doing that. But it wasn't just individual righteous acts. In a precursor to our heated debates about state-sponsored health care, Louis took a stand, and he delivered. He founded hospitals for those who at the time didn't deserve care, or so it was said, for the prostitutes and for the blind. Louis learned from the witness of Francis. He judged the cause of the poor and the needy, did justice and righteousness. So, might we actually be able to learn righteousness from the life of a king? Here are the words that Jesus speaks. "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Easy. Really? For some reason, that's not the popular understanding of this heavy wooden instrument, the yoke. Let's take a closer look here at the words, and specifically the word for easy. The Greek here is krestos, and though it has several meanings, the most pertinent in this context is this one. Easy, with the implication of suitability. As in something that fits, that fills you with a sense of ease rather than of dis-ease. This ease doesn't pretend to be all peaches and cream, but when you try it on, it fits. The rest of it loses its grip on you. You know deep within you that this is how life lived with all the created is supposed to be. It becomes a joy. I have to believe that this was the case with Louis, and I have to believe that when he put on that crown at age 11, his yoke, his authority, might have been a burden. But it's fascinating to me that the very same year that Louis is crowned King of France, Francis dies in Assisi, 1226. And it was after Francis' death that the fervor around the Order of the Friars Minor swept across Europe. Just as Louis himself was being formed as a follower of Christ and monarch of his realm. And I have to believe that as he encountered Francis's teaching, and especially Francis's desire for simplicity, or as we might today say, of living simply that others may simply live, it was then that the yoke around Louis began to fit. For this is what connects these two very different saints, the monarch and the mendicant, that they practiced what we might call radical simplicity. Radical, as in its Latin antecedent radix, or the root. Digging away at the extraneous, the trappings of life, digging down to the root of what living this way of Christ is. Stripping away the vanities, the illusions, the strivings of this world, in order to reach the truth that lies within all of us. For Francis, this seems relevant, but frankly very strange to reflect on the life of a king and to use the word simplicity. But over and over again, the accounts we receive of the way that Louis lived his royal life were frankly simple. He constantly reminded himself of who and whose he was, both by acts of personal piety and public witness. Under the silks of his royal garments, it is said, he wore a hair shirt. not to say to the world, look how humble and righteous I am, but to remind himself of the simple fact that he, like all who live in this world, was ashes of ashes and dust of dust. And that what he had been offered in this life was a gift of immense value, and that life-altering responsibility followed with it. It was from this place that Louis undertook remarkable acts of righteousness, reforming unjust court and taxation systems. Just as Francis's life calls us to change ourselves, Louis's witness calls us to change our world. This was what was challenging and strangely freeing in hearing these two stories of the 13th century laid side by side. For as much as I admire St. Francis, and especially those who have followed in his way so closely in our day, like our Franciscan brothers who live here among us, it is unlikely that in my life I will live as a mendicant, holding no property, relying solely on the gifts of those around me. This is what really cut to the quick for me. How much more I share in common with Louis the King, the one from whom I thought I had little to learn. And I may not be alone. This is how Sam Pertaro offers it. None of us will be monarchs of France, but we probably already have access to more wealth and actual power than Louis ever knew as king. The ears that listen to us, the eyes that watch us, the people who consult us, the media that gives us voice and visibility and accords us place in print, they endow us with authority. We can deny that authority and shrink from its demands, or we can struggle, like Louis, to wear the crown with grace and compassion. Folks, I realize it may be more comfortable to talk about our companionship with humble Francis of Assisi rather than our place alongside King Louis of France this morning. And yet many of us spend a good number of coins of this realm on local organic food and live in homes that, while they may not be paneled with cedar and painted with vermilion, at the very least, they keep us out of the wind and rain and allow us safe haven at the close of the day. These things can be good. It's just that given our place in the entirety of this globe, our distance from that other 13th century saint is much closer than the shores of Normandy. A few weeks ago here at All Souls, in his sermon on Jeremiah, Martin Elfert preached that for him it is okay that his generation is likely to be known as the first in American history to make less money than their parents. Many others, though, are weighed down by this. They bear this as a heavy burden. Many are wearied and worn from the striving to be smarter, to work harder, to be greater. Always more. Friends, what the good news is telling us this morning is that there is another way. If we but learn from Jesus, if we learn from Francis, learn from Louis, we can choose a yoke that fits, a yoke that offers ease, even joy. Friends, no matter our position, no matter the size of our house, no matter the nature of our degrees, no matter the number of zeros by our name, all of us can take this yoke, wear it with grace and compassion, and from this simple way know for ourselves and offer this world the rest for souls that we all so desperately seek.